Get ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through His servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at the Seed Sowers Ministry 18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Dear Father, we ask again that you will help us as we go on in this study in Jesus' name. Amen. Our response to persecution as Christians, and the goal of this study is to make us know and understand what persecution is and how we are to respond to the injustice done to us by our enemies. And the objectives of the training or the teaching is that at the end of the seminar, you will be able to, one, define persecution and injustice, understand the source of persecution, reasons and purpose for persecution with biblical proofs. 3, the latter end of all persecutors. 4, have compassion on the souls of persecutors. And E, understand how to respond to persecution and injustice. So, let's begin by, what is persecution and injustice? Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. The book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 8 and verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Alright? Please read. Reading from the Amplified Translation, Saul wholeheartedly approved of Stephen's death, and on that day a great and relentless persecution, did you see that, broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and the believers were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except for the apostles. So you see that. Look at the way Amplified raised the issue of great and relentless persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 11 verse 19, we saw that persecution scattered the believers. Acts chapter 13 verse 50. Let me read. Amplified. But the Jews incited the devout prominent women. You see, women itself was part of the persecution team. Women and the leading men of the city, and instigated persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them forcibly out of their district. So you see that persecution is also, it didn't have to do with death here, but driving people out of their homelands or out of a place or out of a territory is also part. But finally, 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. Indeed, all who delight in pursuing righteousness, as Amplified, and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus, will be hunted and persecuted because of their faith. Now, is it not clear from the scriptures, as we raised the other day, persecution is part of the message of the gospel. Now, when we say like this, you know, we don't come before a believer, an unbeliever, I mean, and then the first thing you raise with an unbeliever is, you shall be persecuted. No. The first thing we raise is what? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that delivers from sin, Satan, and from worldliness, and from sickness. So when he embraces that, and he embraces the forgiveness of Christ, and he decides to be a disciple, the next thing we must begin to make that disciple, or that follower of Christ to understand, is that persecution is inevitable, according to 2 Timothy 3:12. So, persecution can be defined as a state of event whereby a Christian is afflicted, troubled, or made to be sorrowful for the sake of his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution can be defined as a state of event whereby a Christian is afflicted, troubled, or made to be sorrowful for the sake of his or her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is injustice? Because the goal of the teaching today is to separate persecution from injustice. What's injustice? This is a process by which a group of people or individuals superior, get it, superior, that means they feel they are powerful or have the right to cause harm, sorrow, pain to an individual or group of people, tribe, ethnic group, which is against the law and constitution of a land or country. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Injustice is when a group of people feels they are superior, and because of that, they afflict, they cause pain, sorrow, or they take the possession of another group of people, which is against the law and constitution of a land or country. Now, let me ask you, do you call it injustice when the constitution of a place says that the king can take your wife? That's the constitution. As far as that land is concerned, is that injustice?
No.
No. If you don't want to be in that country, what do? You go out. From the biblical point of view, that's injustice. But as long as it has become a law in that place that the king has access to your wife and children, it's not injustice. So understand what injustice means. Do you understand? When something is against the constitution of a place, constitution of a land or country, and somebody feels superior to want to take what belongs to another, like in the case of David taking Uriah's wife and killing Uriah, was injustice. It's against the law of God. Do you understand? But if Uriah submits his wife willingly, do you call that injustice? No. Do you understand these things now? So we must separate persecution from injustice. Now listen, all persecution is injustice, but not all injustice is persecution. Because somebody can, you know, act unjustly against us, not because of our faith, not because you belong to Christ Jesus, but probably because he feels he's superior. He has the money, he has the weapon, he has the connection. If a boss sacks somebody now because he doesn't like him, not because of his or her faith, because he doesn't like him, you understand? That may be called injustice. Terminating somebody's appointment just because you don't like him, that may be injustice. Do you know somebody may stand on moral grounds and may not even be born again, but could stand on moral grounds and the boss of a company can say, I don't want you here, and terminate his job? That's injustice. That's not persecution. But when it's connected to your faith in Christ, then that's persecution. Do we understand? Now, the next one is the source, the purpose, and reason for persecution. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Yes?
Be sober.
Be vigilant.
Because your adversary, the devil,
yes,
as a roaring lion,
walketh
about,
seeking whom he may devour. From Amplified, it reads this: be sober, well balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times, that enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Now, we are dealing with the source, the purpose, and reasons for persecution. Now, Acts 13 verse 10, it says, and said, you who are full of every kind of deceit and every kind of fraud, you son of the devil, enemy of everything that is right and good. You see that? Will you never stop perverting the straight path of the Lord? Take note of enemy. Okay, so looking at it, you see that the Bible talk about enemy. Is that all right? Enemy. Now, in Revelation 12:10, how does the Bible speak? You see that the what?
The accuser.
Accuser. So you could see that 1 Peter 5:8, devil as enemy, devil as accuser, as a roaring lion. So this scripture points us to something, because people are asking why persecution. Our real enemy, let's trace the source. Our real enemy as Christians is the devil. Now take note of this. Our real enemy is the devil, the real spirit of all that is called Antichrist, as against Christ. Our enemy is not people who hate, who fight and kill us. The real enemy using them is the devil. because he has blindfolded them to do what they are doing. If those people can be set free from the devil, they will not do what they do. Do you believe that? So, in persecution, the enemy, you know, the Bible calls him the enemy. The devil is the enemy. Are you with me? He's the enemy. You see, because when Jesus died, he took away the flesh, the power of the flesh. He defeated the power of the enemy. He didn't take away the presence of the enemy. Are you following this? The cross did not remove the devil. The cross emptied him of his power, not of his presence. And because of his presence, he could still deceive. If he deceives, then he overpowers whosoever he has deceived. So what delivers us from the enemy is the truth we have received and the life that we carry. Are you following this now? So that is our real enemy. Boko Haram is not our enemy. Al-Shabaab is not our enemy. The people around us are not our enemies. The devil and his courts is our real enemy. Once you set your eyes on the real enemy, hatred will not be allowed. Now, you find out that when it comes to persecution, that's what we are dealing with now. We are not dealing with injustice. Are you with me now?
Yes, sir.
We are dealing with what? Persecution. Now, what is the purpose of persecution? One, because of our testimony of the Lord Jesus. Acts 13, verse 50. Why did they expel them? Because of their testimony of Jesus. B, because of the word of God. Look at how Matthew 13 verse 21 put it. Matthew 13 verse 21. Let's start from verse 20. Let's start from verse 19 and 20. 20 now. The one on whom the seed was sown on rocky ground. This is the one who hears the word and at once welcomes it with joy. Yet, he has no substantial root in himself, but is only temporary. And when pressure or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he stumbles and falls away, abandoning the one who is the source of his salvation. That's amplified. Now, what does that show you? Persecution can deliberately arise because of what? The word you received. Are you following this now? Like in the case of Afghanistan, the second fastest growing church in the world is in Afghanistan. So when the word is received, the next thing is, because of the word, persecution. This is a deliberate one. Are we together now?
Yes,
anytime you see, and it's like that. Anytime you find out the Lord gives you instruction, take note. The next thing you notice is distraction. Anytime you are set on obeying God, that's when something that is negative will come to take your focus away from the word. That's persecution. And the way Amplified put it, he said, when pressure or persecution comes for the word's sake. You see that? The reason why a lot of people backslide is that they received the word on rocky ground. And what is the connotation that is on rocky ground? He said the word has no root. It is what has gained root that cannot be easily uprooted. And what helps you to be rooted is meditation. He said, thou shalt meditate therein, that thou mayest observe to do. So when meditation is lost, observation is absent, and doing is not achievable. So the first step that leads to obeying God's word is constant meditation. When you meditate on the word of God, you then begin to observe, and then you begin to do. Meditation is key to a victorious Christian living. When it has no root in itself, and persecution arise for the word's sake. So understand that persecution also come because of the word sin. See, Satan and all religions are directly against Christ and his kingdom. Yes or no?
Yes.
Satan is the any religion that does not accept Christ is the religion of the Antichrist. No matter, even if they say that Jesus is a good man. Once you take note, and I've shared that with us, that they are not, the Bible didn't raise anti-Jesus, it raised the issue of Antichrist. Because the word Christ is the backup to that name Jesus. Because Jesus means Savior, Christ means anointed one, chosen one. That's the meaning. So any religion that does not accept that he is the one chosen and anointed to die for the sin of the world, you will equate him with others. Once you remove the Christ, hope you know many religions, like for example in this other religion, he is just called Isa. They don't say Isa the anointed one. Do you know that? They just call him Isa, and Isa is the other version for Jesus. They don't mind saying Al-Masih, because it's the same. Savior. Messiah. That's what we call him. So they don't have problem in saying Messiah. Other Messiahs have risen. Joshua was like a Messiah. Moses was like a Messiah. Are you following this? But to say this Messiah is the Christ. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, no one calleth Jesus Christ as Lord except by the Spirit. Because to call him Lord, you have to accept his Christ. Hope you know when Peter spoke, he didn't say you are Jesus, the Son of God. He said you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Not that you are Jesus. Because Jesus is already known. Everybody knows him as Jesus. But the problem is recognizing him as the Christ. And what makes us Christians is from that name Christ. We are not Jesusians. We are Christians. That's what makes the difference. So what people are fighting is the anointed one. Because to accept him as the anointed one is to disregard all other means of salvation. Are we together now? So Satan and all religions are directly against Christ and his kingdom. D. To test if those who genuinely love God will not be offended in him. Do you remember that? In Matthew 24, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, many shall be offended. And we remove the fact that even though we are loved by Christ with an eternal love, we shall still be tested. Our love for him shall be tested. And one of the ways by which our love is tested is trials. And the scripture is filled with that. Hallelujah. So when trials come, persecution comes, are we going to be offended? Are we going to say he did not defend us? When we understand that we are persecuted based on the word, we are persecuted to test our allegiance, if it's unto him. And finally, to refocus the attention of the worldly and the distracted church to the person of Jesus Christ. Do you know persecution achieves that?
Yes, sir.
To refocus the attention. That's the purpose of persecution. You remember that in Acts of the Apostles, they were sitting down in Jerusalem. Turning it into an headquarters, whereby God asked them to go out. What did the persecution of Stephen did? It allowed them to go out. Didn't you read that in your Bible?
Yes.
They were scattered so that they could go and preach. Hallelujah. Latter end of persecutors. That's the next thing we are considering. We need to know that the being behind all those persecuting the Christians is the devil. He is the spirit of the Antichrist. He is the brain behind all ideologies. He is the thief who came to steal, kill, and destroy. So we need to understand the end of all persecutors and their master. The reason why Christians must not be disturbed is that we know the end of all our persecutors. Knowing that God, who is a just and righteous God, said, vengeance is mine. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. So does God take vengeance? Does he?
Yes.
He does. The problem we have is that we want the vengeance to be quick. He is always, to us, very slow. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Can we just check Romans 12, 19? Now, look at this. Beloved, never avenge yourself. What does that mean? Don't revenge. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath and his judicial righteousness. For it is written in Scripture, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Okay, no, this does not mean that you say, let me give him food so that coal of fire can come upon his head. No. It's simply saying you love him. Because that love will compel God to say, you did wrong against this person. And look at what he does to you. So you see that when people say, but he killed my father, but he killed my mother. The Bible says if he's hungry, what does that show you? The day your enemy become a needy person, be eager to help. Do you understand what that means? If your enemy is hungry, it shows that there is a day coming, your enemy will become a needy man. Feed him that time. Oh, you know, this does not mean that go and give food to your enemy. No. That's not what it says. If he's hungry, what if he's not hungry? If he's not hungry, he's not hungry. But they say, if he is hungry, and you get to know he is hungry, do what? Give him food. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. By doing this, by showing him love, you are bringing coals of fire on his head. Now this is important. This is how to respond. Vengeance is mine. God knows what to do with our persecutors. Consider the following scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6. What does he say? Look at how Amplified put it. Verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with distress those who distress you. Now, let me tell you, can God lie? Can God lie?
No.
So everyone who have distressed Christians, cause problem for them. What the Bible says will happen to them? Distress and trouble. So can all the persecutors of Christians, can they escape distress and trouble? No. They can't. It's not possible. You know why? There's a just God who will do that. So, you see, many of them too are killed in the process of fighting. Many of them also die painfully. They might have killed and maimed and raped and destroyed, but the Bible says God must repay. Do you understand? So our confidence is in God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 11:15. You see that there's an end already for those who tally with the devil. Amen? We need to see that. Psalm 7, verse 11 again.
God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day.
It's in the Bible. God is a righteous judge, and a God who is indignant every day with the wicked. God is angry with the wicked every day. As long as he decides to remain wicked, not intentionally, God says angry with him. So the day of his vengeance, no man will rescue him. Understand that. Hallelujah. Understand also that when you do something, you see, when you do wickedness out of ignorance, God can see that. He finds ways to save. Are you with me? He finds ways to help. But when you decide to be wicked intentionally, then the wrath of God is on you. Hallelujah. Now, compassion on the souls of our persecutors. We must have compassion. This is a big part. Now, as a Christian who carries the heart of Christ, who prays for his persecutors, let us have compassion on the souls of our persecutors, because their end is terrible. I think there was a time the Lord was helping me to understand that. He said, look, when I start my wrath on them and their generation, you'll be shocked, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. They will suffer and be tormented in hell. Their lives will be miserable. They will be severely punished. It is the devil behind them, and they don't know. And for some, they know. If you know their end, you will weep for them. You see, if you truly have the revelation of the end of all our persecutors, you will weep for them. That is why Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship between God the Father and we His children. God is our Father and our persecutors are fatherless. They don't know the love of God through Christ Jesus. We must have compassion on them. But yet, we must hate what they do. Are we together?
Yes.
Because what they do to the children of God is directly from the devil. Somebody cannot come in now, kill small children, machete people, and then you like them for doing that. Some people like them for doing that. Some people claim that they are fighting for a God. Now, let's draw a balance here during question and answer on the justification of God also asking that the children of Israel should kill. Because that's what they will point to and say, but God also commanded. We're going to answer that by God's grace. Now, the following scripture tells us of our reaction to persecutors. Look at the way our Lord Jesus Christ behaved on the cross. Luke 23, verse 3 to 34. Let's see what it says. So Jesus simply was praying that the Lord should what? Stephen did the same thing in Acts 7, 54 to 60. We don't need to open it. Do we know that story? Acts chapter 7, 54 to 60. He prayed for his enemies. Hallelujah. This is our reaction. Somebody is cutting my head, but I'm praying for him. You know why I must pray for him? Because I pity him. I have my destination where I'm going. May this be a strong reality for our hearts in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What makes people to fear death? They are not sure where they are going. Sincerely, when you are afraid to die right now, you are not sure of where you are going. If the reality of where you are going is strong in your heart, Telancia, do you understand what I'm talking about? Where you are going, you know, Paul said, our light affliction today cannot be compared with the weight of glory that is awaiting us. In fact, he calls the affliction of today light affliction. This is somebody that was beaten almost to death, calling that light affliction. That's just small compared to what we are going to go and inherit. That movie on your phone on Apostle Paul, I like to watch it again. I think there's a movie you have on your laptop on Apostle Paul. Yes. And I think it's a full movie, I guess. And the way they depicted Paul in that movie was so wonderful. The way he died peacefully. There was no fear whatsoever. Stoning Stephen, we didn't see record of pain. The story you watch on Perpetua, did you see how she died? She died gloriously. All of them died gloriously. These are real issues in history. Hallelujah. Polycarp also. They kept praying for their persecutors. And you find out that like in Perpetua's story, you see the prisoner, the one that was the warden, eventually became a Christian. So, our proper response to persecution and injustice. Now, this is where we strike the balance. And we have read some scriptures, and we just want to read them again. We're not tired of reading scriptures. What's our proper response to persecution and injustice? 2 Timothy 3, 11 to 12. In 2 Timothy 3, 11 to 12, look at the disposition of Paul. What was the disposition on that? He embraced it. He said, out of it the Lord delivered me, out of them all. You remember? You see that there? So we must expect deliverance. Do you understand? That if when persecution happened to me, the Lord will deliver me. If he doesn't, hope you know, either way it is deliverance. If I die, it is a deliverance. If I am alive, it's another deliverance. Either way is deliverance. If I eventually die, I'm delivered from pain, I'm delivered from the woes of the earth, I'm delivered from the toilings of the earth. Either way is deliverance. Look at the way Paul embraced the persecution. Well, did you see him crying and say, see what they did to me, Timothy? I don't understand why ministry has become like this. Is that what you saw there? Of what persecution befell me, and he mentioned the location and said, out of it all, the Lord delivered me. Yeah. all that must live godly in this life must suffer, shall suffer persecution. So immediately he was showing that disposition to Timothy. How was Timothy also getting ready? The Lord will deliver me. And in that way, he's delivered. That's why you saw the way the three Hebrew boys said, our God, whom we serve, will deliver us. Always expect deliverance. So when you see it as deliverance, that way is deliverance. You see, what brings pain or what brings health or peace is the state of the mind. The understanding in the mind. That's why the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What embrace pain and see pain as is the mindset, the understanding of the mind. But when the mind is renewed by the word of God and say, this is deliverance. So when my enemies bring matchet now, this is deliverance. Deliverance either way. God whom I serve can save me from matchet and bullets. We've had testimonies of those that bullets could not enter their head, could not enter their body. We've heard of people that were blindfolded. We've heard of those that were killed also. Either way, deliverance. Perpetua was killed. Polycarp was killed. Either way is deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 11 verse 6. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Did you see that? And that shows you that, look at, and blessed, joyful, favored by God is he who does not take offense at me. You see? Because there are some things that get us offended. This Jesus we are serving, God. You know, Matthew 11 was the case of John. Saying, I'm in prison, yet he's preaching. Go and ask him, is he the Messiah? Is he the one, or should we expect another? So Jesus said, blessed is he that is not offended. Because the part that offends us most as Christians is that I prayed, God didn't answer. And Bible says in Ezekiel 3, I think verse 3, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I will show you greater majesties which thou knowest not. So sometimes we think that God does not answer. God has said if you call, he will answer. Now answer can come in different ways. Silence is a form of answer. We must understand God answers. He will answer either way. The same way we deliver us either way. When you pass through fire, I will be with you. It will not consume you, means a lot. Even if we live, so we live in the earth. Either way is what? Deliverance. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Either way is victory. Do we understand? We cannot lose because of who we belong to. So whether you bring machete, he will suspend pain. I will enter into paradise gloriously. Pain will not have effect on me because he conquered it. Are you following this? That was what we saw in Stephen. That was the way we saw all the generals of faith died peacefully. He, that way, is victory. So what's our proper response? We must not be offended. Romans 8:35. Look at our disposition according to Romans 8:35-36 to 37. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation. They didn't say that because we came to Christ, there will be no tribulation. You see, it's a wrong understanding and a wrong gospel not to let the people know tribulation will come. Are you following me? Yes, you know, sometimes we talk about, I'm sorry to say, we say, no matter what happens, you are exempted. You are exempted from injustice. You are exempted from being a victim of mayhem. But you are not exempted from persecution for your faith. Do you follow what I'm talking about? He said, will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. So he's simply saying these things can happen, but they will not be able to what? Separate us. So what's your response? Your response is firm assurance in the love of God for you through Christ Jesus. I'm loved. So listen to me. If you love someone, would you leave the person alone in pain? Would you allow pain overwhelm a person you love? You want to share in that pain. Is that also? Can we love more than God? So every pain a Christian goes through because of his faith, who shares that pain with him? Who carries that yoke with him? So I have found out that in Fox's book of Matthias, people like Polycarp were singing while he was burning. There's no pain. Somebody has bear that pain alongside with him. Perpetua said, I cannot go to my God as if I'm money. Where is pain? Pain is lost. It means the Lord who loves us will be in famine with us. Will be hungry alongside us. So that hunger will not look like hunger. Are you following what I'm talking about? This is so real. This is so important. He said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. That means in pain is there. So pain will look like just a tip. The real overwhelming pain does not take over a child of God that is going to die for the sake of his faith. Do you follow what I'm talking about? Yeah. We're not talking about being victim of accident here. We're talking about persecution for your faith. Not accident for your faith. Do you understand? You can't have accident for your faith. Unless they put bomb for your because of your faith. And they now put bomb in your car. Then you will blow off joyfully. Praise the name of the Lord. For your faith. That is if the Lord has ordained that you have to die for your faith. Because if God did not ordain your death, you will come out of that car because he's going to deliver you. Are you following this? This is very, very important. For your faith. This is our... Let's see. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 is very, very important. Very, very key. Let's read it again. Who shall? Hallelujah. Expecting the Bible to say, what shall? Are you following this now? You see, King James, the way King James rendered it, it should be what shall, because I don't see tribulation as a who. I don't see injustice as a who. I don't see persecution as a who. I saw them as a what. Are you with me now?
Yes.
But look at it. He put everything under who. Treating persecution as a personality. Treating tribulation as a personality. Treating distress as a personality. Treating famine as a personality. Treating nakedness as a personality. Treating danger as a personality. Treating sword as a... And why is he treating as a personality? Because he knows the being behind it. Do you follow what I'm talking about? That's why he said, who shall separate us? Not what shall separate us. King James should have said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Other translations can render it that way. But it's a who, because there is a being behind persecution. There is a being behind tribulation. There is a being behind distress. Who shall separate us? Not what shall separate us. So those things are sponsored by a personality. That's why Paul said, who shall separate us? So how do you respond to persecution? You respond by an overwhelming revelation of the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see, what was he saying? Paul had understanding of what love means. Love means you don't leave your partner in fire. That's what it means. So God can never leave any Christian to bear pain alone. Never. That's what love means. Hallelujah. Now, if that's not possible, why was Stephen being stoned? And he could see the glory of God in heaven. That tells you Jesus, and you know, the Bible says Jesus was standing. And Jesus allowed a man on earth to get right into heaven from earth. Do you understand what we're talking about? This is not that I ascended. This is that from the earth. That's the glory in suffering. From the earth, he saw directly into heaven. From the earth. What do you think that did to his pain? All pain were suspended. Body was suffering. The real man was not suffering anymore. The stone was affecting his head, but the real man was not suffering. Because you cannot be suffering and be praying. You can't go through that kind of suffering and then you are praying. No. He prayed for his enemies. The real suffering of the cross was what? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That's the greatest suffering. Being forsaken by God is the greatest suffering. That's the greatest suffering that Jesus went through, being forsaken by God. That was the height of it. So, you find this out. How do you respond? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine? That means it's possible for Christians to experience famine. Do you understand that?
Yes,
if you read Acts of the Apostles, you could see there. But will God leave his people in famine? No. That's what it means. That means love of Christ. Who shall separate? That means wherever Christians are experiencing famine and injustice, if they take their land, he will give them another land. That's what love is. If they go through any pain and they are in the IDP camps, who will be with them in the IDP camps? The Lord. But when Christians refuse to focus on the love of God, depression sets in. Offense will come. They will be offended at God. They will backslide. And they can go to hell. Because they can curse God. So one should, how do we teach the love of God? We don't just teach the love of God and say, okay, Jesus died on the cross, hallelujah, you are forsaken. And then when people now discover that they are experiencing famine, they're experiencing hunger, they're experiencing tribulation, they will now say, where is the love of God? Do you know that's what people say? Where is God? But what is Paul saying here? He said, even in famine, even in persecution, even in tribulation, God's love is active and alive. So what does not make us fear hunger? What does not make us fear that I don't have money? Why will many people not choose to come to missions? Because of the fear of lack of money. What will I eat? You see? If a man knows the love of God, will he fear hunger? You see that really, 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 many of our so-called Christians do not love God. And you cannot love God except you have the revelation of his love for you. He first loved us. That's why we could love him. You can't love him outside his love for you. No. The reason why we are poor in commitment, we are poor in releasing ourselves totally, ready to die if need be, is that the revelation of his love is not... Look at Paul. Look at that statement. That means God showed him the immeasureless love, how God is so much tightly cannot let man go. Cannot let he who is born again to go. He is the one that is showing it. God revealed this depth to it. That's why I call it the mystery of godliness. That Christ is so much in love for us that he's interceding in heaven for us. And take note of this. Some people would like to abuse this thing I'm about to say now. But that is just the manifestation of the love of God. Such that in heaven, if a Christian makes a mistake, he stands up immediately and advocates. That's what 1 John 2:1 says. That is not a reason to go and commit sin. No, because it's an if, not when. It's if. If any man sin, if a man falls into the ditch, Jesus rises because of his love and says no. And what does love do? Don't forget that later on in scripture, love also rebukes. Love hates what is wrong. So Jesus Christ, after he advocates, will now send the comforter. The comforter begins to teach you how to be empowered, not to fall into the same thing, because he's not glorified at your continuous falling into sin. But when he sees it as a direct result of weakness, the love of God stands. He picks you. He raises you. Now, when we know how God loves us through Christ, we don't find it as a big matter to love our persecutors. Love is not a feeling. It's a revelation. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And look at verse 36. Look at verse 36. Just as it is written, and forever remains written, what? For your sake we are put to death all day long. Look at this. So what was Paul saying? Everything we are doing is like we are dying. We are traveling. We don't have comfort of ourselves again. You see, for thy sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. It's as if our life is condemned to suffer. You see that now. If you look at the persecution of Christians in Nigeria, it just looks as if people are having a free day killing us. We are like sheep for the slaughter. You know why? It's been written that it will happen. So you see that even God knows that this is what will happen. They will start killing my children as if they are sheep for the slaughter. So this is what the church ought to teach. Verse 37. Look at verse 37. Yet in all these things, which things? Tribulation, famine. Now, is it?
Distress.
But is it yet outside all these things?
No.
Without all these things?
No.
Was it in them? In them, in all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who what? Who loved us. And then look at verse 38. For I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt, amplified, that neither death, Shamakotu Kuroni, tribulation, whatever, and he said death, nor life. You see, that's the issue. Life can separate you from the love of God. Love of life. Do you understand? But what he's simply saying is that whether we live or we die, nor angels, and of course he's not talking about holy angels here, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening. Can you imagine that? Not things present, not things that threaten, not things to come, not powers, nor height, nor depth. You see, I see when he says no height, that means if they throw me down from a very high building, Are you with me now? Eh? He can't separate me from the Lord God. Somebody will be there with me. Say, I will be with you always. Nor height, nor depth. If they throw me to the deepest ocean and they go and tie me there, they take me back and leave me there for shark to finish me. Right inside that deep ocean, who will be there with me? Jesus will be there. Nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This brother, no wonder they were stoning him, they were beating him with rod, they were, yet he was preaching. How can you beat somebody and they are singing praise and worship? Now that they say, Christianity is not a religion. It's not. Do you understand? They beat you black and blue. That's how Amplified put it. To the point that the Bible says the jailer was mending their wound. So they, while still having wound, they were worshipping God. Bible says, and the prisoners had them. So what was their praises like? Not, you are the Lord. No. They were singing. So where was the pain? Do you understand what I'm talking about? No, pain has been suspended. Because joy and pain can't exist in the same container. One has to, light and darkness can't be in the same place. No, light has to be present for darkness to live. Darkness has to be present for light to live. Pain and joy cannot stay in the same vessel. Pain we have to leave for joy to remain. Joy we have to leave for pain to remain. They don't coexist. Amen. For them to sing for joy and bless the Lord, it means pain left. And after the man came in and said, hey, they've run away. They said, don't kill yourself. We are still here. What was that? The pain has left. Not only the pain left, fear has gone. Now, but the body has the wounds. That's why they could mend the wounds. Do you understand? But that's why truly the death of Christ conquered pain. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. So if this revelation, and see, how will this revelation stay? How will it stay in us? Constant meditation. Joshua 1:8, I consider as one of the most powerful scriptures. One of them. One of them. All scripture is powerful. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That scripture, no, not like one of the powerful. That is an anchor to the scripture. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Thou shalt meditate daily. It's constant meditation that allows the word of God to be rooted in us. Amen. This scripture is very, very powerful. Nothing shall separate us from the Lord. As the Lord could not leave Perpetua, as the Lord could not leave Polycarp, as the Lord could not abandon Stephen, as the Lord could not. So, now take note that some Christians can suffer for their faith if they don't have this revelation. Hope you know fear can make them suffer the pain. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So we are not doing well if the church is not teaching. Especially the Northern Church, the Smyrna Church. This must be the center of our teaching. Because be it unto you according to your faith. Amen?
Amen.
Peter demonstrated that boldness. And he told his persecutors, I don't want to be killed like this. Turn me upside down. Can you imagine that? According to church history. Turn me upside down. I'm not worthy to die like the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn me upside down. Excuse me. Where was pain? If the pain is gone, he didn't respect pain. It means these people truly believe if they turn me upside down, he will be with me. If they come in with machete, he will be with me. At the first blow of that machete, who will take it with me? The Lord Jesus will. Because I will be with you. With you. With you. Jesus used that statement to Paul. Why are you persecuting me? To show you that two people bear pain of persecution. Jesus and you. So it means every machete that's supposed to have a deep cut will not have. It will have a cut. But the pain is borne by two. Because take my yoke means we will bear it together. Do you understand? It's a revelation. It must rule our spirit. That's why you see some people dying laughing. In the first book of Matthias. Dying singing. How can you die singing? How can leopard be tearing your body and you are singing? Somebody is bearing that pain with you. Simple. I will be with you. If I love my wife and I will not allow anything to touch my wife,
That's me, who is limited in love. How much more God? If I love my children and my heart will be with them wherever they are, how much more God? Jesus said to Paul, why are you persecuting me? You cannot be kicking against the prick. So who is really wounded in persecution? The persecutor. If you understand, he will not cut my neck. His neck is really cut. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Acts 5:40-42. The Lord. What's our response to persecution? Imagine after they flogged them, and what's the aim of persecution? So that we don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. That's the aim. See, if you don't want Satan to persecute us again, just close down all churches. Let us go and arrange to all jihadists and all of them and say, we are no more. Jesus, forget it. We are not preaching Christ again. They will cease. Go and dominate everywhere. You people are stronger. They will cease. What will continually bring persecution is that we are insisting that Jesus Christ must be preached, must be taught. People have rights to know the truth. Do you understand? And then the Bible says they left rejoicing. Can you imagine this? This is a serious. Early church is balanced. Early church is strong. They don't cry in the early church. Amen. They, especially for what? Persecution. They don't cry. How will the early church see us when we cry for persecution? They see us as strange. Don't they understand? Let me ask you. Can I ask you? Watch this. If they just beat them now, flog them, or kill their brother for persecution's sake, they rejoice. Do you know any who rejoice can eat? Can sleep. Hope you know that. We'll just say, wow, what a day. Our brother has gone. Please just serve me now. Our brother has gone. Hallelujah. Do we eat when they kill our own wife or children? What is the statement? Where is God? That's what people say. You remember that culture. If somebody died now, say, because God was not there when I needed him. It does not exist. Can you imagine that? That kind of understanding that controls a whole culture. Since he was not available when I needed. So it means the revelation of his love was not in them. Revelation of his love, not the understanding of what love should look like. You see, when we and God wanted to show what love is, so he gave his own and said, go and die, so that they can understand what love is. He sent Christ to die. He took away all our own sins and said, you are free. God's will is powerful. It's only that it has been abused. I'm telling you. All the judgment on you, avoid. You are free. That's the gospel. Nobody truly understands that gospel and goes to commit sin. No. Imagine you're supposed to spend 70 years in prison. Somebody now said, I will stay in prison for 70 years. You'll be going. Will you go and do anything that will make you come back to prison? If you understood that, it is because if you do anything that makes you come back to prison, you have wasted the sacrifice of that person. And scripture talks about that. That those who have tasted the good word of the Lord and the gift of the power of the word to come, said if they shall fall away, to renew them again is impossible. Because they are crucifying the Son of God afresh. It's in the Bible. Some people don't quote that kind of place. Have you seen that they are crucifying the Son of God afresh? Have you seen it before? It's in the Bible. No, people will not quote that one. Because it looks as if you have wasted the suffering of the man who made you free. So let's understand that. The early church, the way they look at it, wait, these ones are strange. They are strange. Are they children of God like us? Do they understand the glory of the world to come like us? How can they kill him for the faith? They should trip. Imagine, watch this now. That they killed some people in a village now, and they come and they say, we are killing all of you one by one because you said you belong to Jesus. Come out. And as they slaughter, the rest of the people threw a party. And it was reported in the news. Rather than wailing and crying towards burial, the burial ceremony became a rejoicing ceremony. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Didn't you see in the Bible that they rejoiced? Now, look at verse 42. The way you are looking at me, looks like, what is this brother saying? Verse 42, every single day, they cease not to teach. What does that mean? They want more persecution. Are you following me? Why did they persecute them in verse 40? So that they don't speak again. What did they continue to do in 42? So it means these people understand the beauty of persecution. Oh Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can a wife truly be happy that his husband was killed for the faith? No, I mean real. Hallelujah. Verse 41. So they led the council rejoicing. Please, what do you understand by rejoicing? To enter a place where people are rejoicing. They are not just saying, we just thank you, Lord. No, rejoicing means they threw a party. They were excited. And they were checking wounds and saying, they beat you. Ooh, glory to God. They rejoiced. Do we rejoice like that now? Eh?
Pain sometimes might not pain the emotions.
They had the revelation. I don't know which meeting we preached like that in one place. I said, cry for revelation. When I said, listen, it's a cry in my heart. See, one of my greatest prayers is not give me money. Lord, reveal your word. Let me see this. Because, hey, you understand? How can somebody just beat you now? Your ear won't be one side like this, blood. You now came home. You just shout, hallelujah! Are you okay? Do you understand? Actually, if we live like the early church, if we live like this, sincerely, people will become wonders. That's how they were. You want to go and join those fanatics that if you beat them, they'll be laughing. Okay, so if somebody say, because you say you are a Christian, and so what come up, what's already happening in the mouth of the person is laughing to glory, glory, oh yeah, beg, yeah. That's what it means. I don't read this scripture and I don't see Lord revelation. How did they undo their pain? Even if we want to look at it on the other end, the one that wants to go and put himself as a suicide bomber, where did he put the knowledge of his own pain also? The one that was suicide bomber. So he doesn't know bomb will tear your bones. But we, who are carnal, we will have pictured the bomb. And the knowledge of that pain, your eyes will just jump. No, please, keep the bomb. We love life. You know, we're a party generation. Please. I want that. Maybe I should share this. The Lord brought this to my heart, and because we are staff, that body series next month is the ancient path. Going back to laughing when they are cutting your head. You say what? So, and you can't form it. What you don't have, you don't have. So, if you don't have it, Jesus says you will ask for it. Excuse me. Why would they not laugh? Wait, why would they not rejoice? They saw that Jesus ascended. And they came back and told us that he ascended. Brothers, he did. And you know the beautiful part of it? There are those who didn't see Jesus ascend who had the same experience. Stephen was not there when Jesus ascended. These were new water believers. Perpetua was not there. Polycarp was not there. But they had the same experience. Imagine fire was burning Polycarp. He didn't shout. They had to use spear to kill him. So he simply left. Hallelujah. Paul said, I'm betwixt two, whether to stay with you or to leave. He said, if I stay for your benefit. A man reached a point that he says that staying will benefit you people. What is the meaning of that? That scripture is one of the anchor scripture when it comes to persecution to me. That if I stay, it will benefit people. That man has stopped living for himself. If I go, what did he say? He said, be better. He said, because I said, I see the Lord. Only by we stay. So what does that show you? You can, by revelation, say, Lord, I want to stay because of this. So how can they use club to beat somebody and he still stand up? Maybe he say, Lord, don't let me go. Because I will stay because of them. That's a level with God. Hallelujah. So when persecutors are coming and you want to stay, you say, Lord, what about this? So you must answer, no, let's go. We will replace this. All right, we are going. So, what was Jesus simply telling us when he said, do not fear those who can kill the body? It means he's saying, disrespect pain. Disregard it. Don't see anything about it because it's nothing. Amen. Can we pray a second? Just pray. Say the revelation of the victory on the cross. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So, we must not be offended in God. Persecution or injustice must not make us hate God. He loves us and feels our pain. We will understand better at the end of all things. Remember that Pastor Kumihi popular song? Adara long will know all about it. Just from his mouth I had it. Maybe he's not the one that sang it. Father long will understand why. Cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Oh God, hallelujah. So we must be prayerful and take authority over the devil. That's how to respond. Who uses men to carry out evil vices and injustice to us? Now, take note of this. There's a place of authority and rebuking demons and spirits because of what we want to do. Not because we are afraid to die. Hallelujah. Death is a passageway. Ononi is a road. I had two experiences. I shared one with my wife. I had one on that seat. I saw through it. There's a force that keeps the man, the spirit of man, with his body. I saw the true part of me on this chair. I think last month, the last 2 months. A part of me was struggling to enter my body. I saw the two different people. I really saw that. Wow. So it was, I don't know. It was like, see, one was going somewhere. And I could not go until I came back. I saw the one on the floor struggling, and there's another one that wants to enter. I saw there was a force. Conscious of being on the chair, and another one is looking at the one on the chair. That kind of experience. We are really two. Hallelujah. And then in choir state this last month, I it was so sharp, very smart, almost like this. A part of me on the bed, I saw I was coming out from a dark hole, and I was moving towards a hole, but outside that hole, I saw light. I saw beauty. What? Very beautiful. It looks like a city with colors. So I was moving towards that hole like somebody or a being. I was moving towards that hole, and I was eager to get out of that black hole into that light, and I saw myself come back to the bed. We are really two. Those experiences remain strong. I couldn't describe the city. I just saw colors, beauty, light. But I saw a black hole. So it's as if when we come out, it's as if we're coming out of a hole, a darkness, into the real light. Death is a door. Period. You remember that movie that you watched when that woman wants to die? He said, if I'm with you in this room, I'm with you. He said, if I go to the next room, does that mean I'm dead? Does that mean I don't exist anymore? He said, I exist only that I'm in another room. That's what death is. But I pray we don't go to the wrong room. That's the idea. Hallelujah. So because of what we want to do, because of the work in our hands, we must be prayerful. Oh, we know that Jesus said, deliver us from evil. And why is he supposed to deliver us? Because dying is thy kingdom. We have a work to do for the kingdom. There's a glory that must come. Because of that kingdom, because of that glory, because of that power, you rebuke evil. You stand against evil. You rebuke them. You see, I believe strongly. I was sharing that at the time with my wife that, let's say they are planning to come and kill us now. And we are prayerful. We fast regularly. We love God. We tell him this work must lead to this. This work must lead to this. My life must glorify you. I have not done this yet for you. You called me. I have not achieved this. Lord, because of you, because of your glory. Do you know the day they are coming to kill you, every rain can start. There are different ways by which God can keep us. Heavy rain can start. If the devil enter your driver and is going to drive you inside the bush, God may puncture your tire. And you will break down. Your car will break down by the road. You may be there thinking, angels have broke down your vehicle because they saw something in front. That's why you rejoice always. Your car break down. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't give thanks. Thank you, man. They say in all situations, said, for this is the will of God. Don't say, He said, you did not know that this vehicle, you are those mama fool, any fine driver. Don't join them to complain. For your life is in the hands of the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. Don't join the complaining party in the vehicle. I was going somewhere at the time, and then we were almost approaching Kano. We have been running for hours, so, and then got to Kano, our vehicle just. So as I was trying to say, and I'm still going to Jigawa, the understanding just came. Angels. And I started saying, thank you, Lord. You only are the one where I knows what is in front. I don't know. We have been running for hours. How come this vehicle? He didn't break down inside the bush of those terrible places. He broke down almost in front of the main gate of Kano. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I said, every other person, maybe we're not happy, but I was happy. God, when you are done, we're fixing our tire. We shall continue. So why do we stand and take authority? Because of the assignment. Because they will say, well, I prefer you to kukuma go to your heaven. Mama, ma di share me, lo wombi. The reason why we ask missionaries to withdraw, go away from this field, go to, because of the work. Not because you are afraid you will be killed. Amen. Our brother, Joseph, has taken his Navy form. And ready to go to Navy. The form he showed me is, they say he should sign, and his parents should sign, that in case anything happened to him in training, loss of life, they will not hold anybody responsible. So how can you join the army of the Lord without signing that kind of commitment form? I may die. Why should your wife not be prepared for that? Why should your husband not be prepared for that? Does it come to your mind that, well, if I go home and I find out that my wife has been killed for the sake of the faith, glory to God, they've gone to heaven. Next room. Amen. It's a revelation. It must be an understanding that rules us. Oh, if my father was killed, somebody said, they killed my father. Who will pay my school fees? You start what's making people to cry. Not that they really miss their father. Their problem is, so who will take care of us? That's the problem of many. One time somebody fell and looking like she was going to die. And this other person, the child of that person, was crying, as I say, Jai, how she loved her mother. I now called, I said, but why were you really crying? Because the person was resuscitated. He said, part of it was that if she now died, where will I see money for burial? I said, what? Come on, Kubayo, don't die now like this, because you put me to shame. What? So you were not crying. Say if there was money, you would have rejoiced. Say, yeah. She's old. You see, when you see people cry, please also ask them, why are you crying? You can be shocked. So people are crying because the property of that man will be given to another person. You know, some widows, they cry because the family of their husband will take away all that they have. Not as if they miss the man. You'll be shocked. That's why Jesus Christ does not assume. Even when you say, Master, I say, what do you want me to do? I will not assume that is that your leg problem that you are coming for. Maybe food. So let's know why you are coming. Very key. So, let us rebuke. When we refuse to bind and cast the devil out, through continuous fasting and prayer, Satan will be freer to do injustice in our land. Hope you know we can hinder him and his works through prayer and fasting. We must not give ourselves to movies and entertainment. There are strategies of the devil to make us prayerless. When the prayerlessness entered the body of Christ, when entertainment increased, go and find out. The 70 revival, 1970s, the 60s, the 70s, why was it said that many sisters were given to prayer? Many brothers were given to prayer. Youth, campus students, well, there was less movie to watch. In a whole street, maybe one house have TV. You remember those kind of TV that has door and padlock? I remember my father's TV, President. You've not seen that TV before. President, black and white. It takes time before it comes up. When you on it, you just get... and it'll not show. Those TV teaches you patience. You learn patience from them. Those other bigger ones, my father didn't have that one. Those other bigger ones have door. So your father can lock it. Satan saw, give them what to watch. Get them busy. That's why to preach these days, it takes extra utterance. In those days you preach, you see me, people are crying. People are praying. You hear Brogley and Co. I said, sir, your time was good. You preach a message, people will not leave. But William said, after we preach, maybe people can be there 5-6 hours. You will hear someone that revival say, we'll see that the next day. I say, yes, there's nothing to watch. These days, as people are repenting, their phone is ringing. Somebody's repenting, phone is ringing. That's already a distraction. I have seen most of the times when I'm doing quiet time, the person that did not call me since all this one, is that time he will call. That's why you put it on airplane mode for focus. When you do retreat, throw away your phone. Don't use your phone to read Bible. Stay focused. That's why if you want to use it, airplane mode, so that nothing do come down that breaks your focus. Our generation now, you need to first gather the lost mind, distracted mind. That's how your preaching takes long. But they cannot endure that. You have to first of all gather the mind, gather the mind, gather the mind, gather the mind. When you gather the mind and you now find out that they are focused, you start. Once you start, quickly begin follow-up strategy. Because as they leave the meeting, the next thing that will break what you told them is waiting. Because Satan knows meditation is what allows things to stay. So he said, free the mind. Free them. As they are stepping out of the church, it's already outside. A generation that is distracted. So we must rebuke evil spirit. We must bind them. We now that will be given opportunity to bind and must we be given to movies and entertainment. Check your life. When were you most serious with your spiritual life? In campus, some of you. And when you were using all those bad phones that has no... remember now, there was more focus. Amen. Take note of time when you did not have WhatsApp, but you were using phone. How was your focus? Those times you could evangelize, you could put now. There are a lot of things to watch. Now, devil not even left TV and brought it to our phones. Now there is TV on phone. In fact, that TV now is on phone. So the Satan says, disciple them in such a way that they can keep watching anywhere they are with the aid of earpiece. Somebody can travel for 9 hours and be doing like this. No prayer. Nothing. Even the Holy Ghost wants to tell him something, the mind will say, we are busy. Holy Ghost, you can wait. When we get to church, is one of the reasons why this generation is prayerless. So imagine to get intercessors to be focused for 21 days, it will take revival to happen. And how do we show it if we ourselves don't live the life? That's why in the house, I know that what we are doing here will affect those people that are here. Yes, that's why they need to stay long enough. But most of the time, if they go back to where they are watching TV again, what happens? They stay back into it. And I can testify that one of the things that I've kept our home, I remember myself and my wife was talking about it, was that we give ourselves lesser to watching. In fact, we don't even watch distracting things. It will keep your mind correct. I close on that point. Now, don't be afraid of what I'm about to say now. So I'm saying, hey? Now, I notice, don't be prayerless through entertainment. These are strategies of the devil to make us, you know, powerless. Because prayerlessness is powerlessness. It is only authoritative prayers, continuous praying in the name of Jesus against the spirit of the Antichrist in our territory that will bring deliverance. Now, take note of this. When we allow injustice to continue, hope you know it will hinder the gospel. Now, I'm not dealing with persecution now. When it comes to injustice, you must be prayerful to rebuke every spirit that causes injustice. What is in Matthew 12:29? Going to a strong man's house and steal his property unless he first overpowers and ties up the strong man. Amen?
Amen.
So we must rebuke. You see, what injustice do is that it hinders the gospel. If it's a mother can start fighting now, are we going to be free to go and preach? Huh? No. That's why we must rebuke spirit that hinders the work. You know that sometimes if one of our major laborers and workers die, he has gone to heaven. You understand? But that what will happen? The work wants to shake. Because Satan knows strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter. So we must pray that no, we don't want your hand. Because there are sometimes Satan hinders. Not that it can be victorious, but it can hinder. It is that hindrance we don't want. You will not hinder us. In the name of Jesus, you will not hinder us. Praise the name of the Lord. If somebody's leg break, can you travel easily to go and be preaching? No. That's why you must not permit accident. Even if I have accident, me, I know what where I'm going. Don't say like that. Your words are powerful. Say, no, this car cannot somersault. That's what I used to say. No, we cannot hit a wall. No, we cannot crash. Wants to be taught, this will come at the time. How does crash look like? I don't want to know how it looks like. What happens when people somersault? How does it feel? I don't want to know how it feels. I rebuke you, that devil sponsor, because they are looking for who we see so that they can enact. That's why when stupid thoughts are coming, say, what if I now? Out. Not here. You stand against those spirits. Hallelujah. How will it look like if they kidnap my child? No, they will not. In the name of Jesus. You see, injustice, praise the name of the Lord, stand against the spirit of injustice. Amen. We don't pray against people. We pray for them. Against people who are ignorant. But whenever we are praying against children of wickedness, who have submitted themselves to wickedness, what are we really dealing with? The spirit. Because they are not our real enemy. We can arrest people. Take note of that. We arrest them. We arrest their conscience, their mind. That you understand? But we don't say, you are my enemy, therefore, you will die. Mm-mm. But we can arrest them. We can arrest whatever is overpowering them. But when the Lord hints us that this one is not even an enemy, is not devil, this one has decided, command can decide. This one has decided that until Christianity is down, until brother so and so is killed, that kind of person, we can call on the vengeance of God upon that fellow. We can arrest people that are used by the devil, by the power of God, in the name of Jesus, but our real enemy is the devil, whom we must wrestle against, we must cast and bind his works. Devil is the main actor behind the scene. And until we understand this truth, we'll be fighting the wrong enemy. Amen?
Amen.
We must love our enemies, those used by the devil, but must hate what they do. Only genuine Christians that have Christ live in them, that can understand that these people are helpless. We don't want them to perish in hell, and that's why we love their souls, but must perfectly hate what they do, especially when we understand the source of their actions. Therefore, we must pray for them. We mention them by names, even if they are in political offices. Hallelujah. And then finally, according to John 15:20, Acts 9:5, 1 Peter 3:14, we must expect more persecutions and prepare for it. Sincerely, we do ourselves harm when we don't prepare for persecution. That's the Yoruba adage. What you prepare for does not shock you. What you prepare for. There's no surprise when you are prepared for it. Amen? So, hallelujah. When you want to sleep in the night and you expect that, it's possible some people don't like me and they can come shooting. Come out and deny Christ. You already have that factored in your mentality. If it is for the sake of your faith. But injustice, no. I barricade this place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because we will be tried. God delivers us. And sometimes, please take note of it, he allows them. God delivers. Sometimes he does allow. They will turn out in the end for our good. Even if we have to lose our lives, heaven is our home, not this earth. We are all pilgrims on our journey to heaven. Remember Jesus, remember Stephen, and remember Leah Sharibu, because she is not with us. We don't know if she's alive or if she's dead. Now let's take note of this. We must never attack nor revenge after we have been persecuted. But it is necessary and appropriate to defend ourselves. Hallelujah. Now we are dealing with how to respond. Defense, not revenge. Amen. This is scriptural, and I want to teach briefly on that. Are you tired?
No.
Acts 22:1. Because people are having challenge with the issue of defense. When you come, you kill Christians, we can have tribal conflicts such that a tribe is mainly Christians. And people are persecuting them, not because of their faith, but because they are from another tribe. Injustice deals with doing what is wrong against another fellow, not particularly because of his faith. Take note, all persecution is injustice. Not all injustice is persecution. So, we can treat persecution on two grounds. The ground that is injustice, and God hates when we allow injustice to thrive in our environment. So we must stand against injustice. We must also understand that there is an enemy, and because of that, we follow the scripture by not revenging. They can attack, kill Christians now, and we go back to their base and kill them. It's against the word of God. But we can defend. Yes, Acts 22 verse 1.
Men, brethren, and fathers,
hear
ye my defense.
Hear my what?
Hear ye my defense.
Hear my what?
Hear my defense.
So defense can come in different means. You can defend yourself before the court, before the judge. So hear my defense. You see, in this place, Paul was not saying, I leave everything to God. What was he doing there? He was defending himself. Please read on.
Hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you.
Yes.
And when they heard that, he spake in the Hebrew tongue.
He spake in the Hebrew tongue
to them. They kept the more silent.
They kept silence.
And he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew.
Okay, now, you see, he was speaking in his defense. Acts chapter 16, verse 36. Now look at that. The magistrate has said, this is another case in Acts 16. The magistrate said, you should go. Yes. Depart in peace.
Now therefore depart.
Yes.
And go in peace.
Yes.
And Paul said,
They
are beating us openly.
They beat me openly.
Uncondemned.
I was not tried. Yes.
Being a Roman citizen. And have cast us into prison.
They put me in prison.
And now they trust. Of our privilege.
Privilege, secretly.
Nay, verily.
No, I won't accept that.
But let them come themselves.
Let them come by themselves. What was Paul doing here? Standing on his citizenship as a Roman. And according to the law, you cannot try or do any. You know, it's like international passport. Your citizenship that is so high. To be a Roman citizen, you cannot have injustice done against you. So Paul was a Jew and Paul was a Roman. And in this place, it's not like they beat me. I'm singing praises now. You see the two applications. Here is that I will speak in my defense. I'm a Roman. This is wrong. This is injustice. You did this to me openly, called me a thief, and now secretly you are releasing me. If you want to release me, release me back publicly. Being a Roman, what the Bible says, when they heard that he was a Roman, is that not so?
Yes, sir.
There is the place of defense. Acts 25, 9 to 11. That's like what? Taking your phrase, your case from the, maybe say, federal high court and take it to the court of appeal. Do you know what I'm talking about? He said, if it's that I did something against the law, I don't have a problem in dying. Imagine the way Paul is talking about death here. I refuse not to die. But if I didn't do anything, I appeal to Caesar. I'm pushing this case forward. That's a Christian. So you say somebody is saying that they will take your child. Go to court. And when they seem to conquer federal high court, take it to court of appeal. As you are raising prayer back up, raise defense. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's persecution. They take a young missionary girl and they said the daughter of a missionary and they are going to marry her forcefully. The case came when I was in the north and the people were talking. I said, see, don't just talk, we shall pray. There is defense. Who is the chief of the army, whatever, of this state? Is a Christian. They just post him. Do we know some people in the police? Let's start. We will not give up. They went to the house of that king, his police. So his police that went to bring that girl. If not, they will not release her. And when they released the girl out of the parent, the issue was the missionaries must what? Leave the place. What have gone on there? Defense. They said, well, just leave the girl. You know, God now, these days, he knows what he's doing. Mm-mm. There's a place of defense. Hallelujah. Defense, not revenge. Now, the government's supposed to protect us, but they are not protecting. Let me ask you. Is it wrong to take arms and defend your people? No. Abraham had 300 soldiers in his was he yet the president of a country?
No.
So defense mechanism, when you know that there are enemies, is not wrong. For example, I want to build a house in a place where... Okay, let me give an example. Do we close our doors when we want to sleep?
Yes.
That's defense. Can't you leave your door open? You know that there could be someone who may come in to hurt or steal. Is that not so?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not as if you are putting your trust in that door, but you nevertheless defend. That's the reason why we close door. Amen?
Amen?
Why do we close door? So that animals like snake and other things that can hurt us are not allowed. Is that not so?
Yes.
That's defense. So we practically practice defense on a norm. So when some people, for example, an armed robber say they are coming, what should you do as a street? Defense. You pray. Prayer is defense. You put some things in place, like police, like security men that we call Lord there. Is it not a form of defense? So when you know that these people say they are coming to an area, what should you do? Defend. It's not wrong. Are we together? Our mind must be enlightened. We do not revenge, but we defend. If in the course of defense, look at, there's a case of a suicide bomber was driving a car into a main church in Plateau State. And the boys at the door were Christians, you know, those like ushers manning the gates or something. Anglican, maybe call it a particular name. When they saw the car was coming on full speed, they slammed the gates. And the car exploded and the brother died. The people at the gate died, but the several hundreds of people in the church were alive. What's that? Defense! If you say, well, then just go, what will happen, will happen. You will die, the rest of the people will die. Defense! It's not against it. I give an example. Peter took out his sword, yes or no, and cut the ear of the people that wanted to come to arrest Jesus. What did Jesus do? He said, Peter, he that killed by the sword, shall what? Hope you know that is not defense. That's attack. He that killed by the sword will die by the sword. Please listen. And what Jesus later said? He said, put back your sword. Did he say throw it away?
No.
Put it back means you may need it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Not throw your sword away. Hope you know he told them that he that does not have sword should buy one. Eh? He was simply saying, look, I'm no more with you. There will be reasons to defend yourselves. There will be reasons. Why do Pastor Kumi move about with police and security personnel? Some pastors. Why? It's a form of defense. It's not that you are trusting defense, but you must defend. Now, I bless the Lord because if Jesus had told Peter, I said, that's good. The way you cut off the ear of my enemy, that will support jihad. I will carry gun. Me, I will carry gun. But Jesus Christ said, no, you cannot pay evil with what? With evil. Are we together? God forbid somebody alone wants to kill a girl now and you are behind. He didn't see you. What will you do? If you see stick, you will knock it on his back. Let him fall first. Let it get. That's good. That's defense. You are defending somebody. If you have gone, shoot him on the leg and call police. Amen.
Amen.
But when you know you don't have power,
you cry for help.
Now, forms of defense. Running is a form of defense. Hiding is a form of defense. Reporting to authorities is a form of defense. It's defense, not fear. In this age and time, it's important for everybody to start thinking defense. Amen?
Amen.
A place like Israel, everybody has a level of military training, no matter who you are. You need to. So let's understand that. And why are we talking about defense? Injustice. There are some injustice that would mean that you should hold weapon in form of defense. There are others that you should press it with the authorities. That's also forms of defense. If I know this area is getting now terrible, you can take your wife and children to a safer place. That's a form of defense. Amen. The Lord will teach us how to respond. But see, is it possible to defend and yet love?
Yes.
Only Christians can do that. Imagine that you came to attack us, we overpowered you, and one of them now fell to the ground but has not died. What should the Christian community do? They help him. And they explain to him why they are defending. They pray for him and say, we would not have wanted to hurt you. This is what we want. And they take care of him. Hope you know when they're supposed to kill him, he's there for them. They feed him, they pray with him, they pray for him, they take care of his wounds. Hope you know something will happen to that person. It will take a demon for that person to come back and attack them. Amen?
Amen.
That's how to treat injustice. Hallelujah. The Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. So, we must not hate those who persecute us. They only do what they do to us because we are children of the King of Kings. The Lord Himself will teach us, especially our brethren in the north, defending and not hating is only for Christians. You see that most of the time, what does the old man do in you? Revenge. That means the Lord never commanded any Christian community to attack, only to defend. You can defend yourself because you defend yourself every day. But what must you do? Even in some cases, no matter your defense, the persecutor is more powerful than you. So you put your trust in the Lord. Let's pray.